Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. In verses 12 and 13, we learn of those who did accept him. We read of those who did believe on him. We read of those who did receive him. As many as received him. Those that received the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who claimed to be the one that was sent by God to this world. The one that was promised by the Hebrew Scripture. The one that came exactly as it was promised in the Scriptures, through the prophets of Israel. Those that have accepted him, those that have received him, listen, it says in verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God. You see, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, anyone who received the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, by faith, anyone who confess that he or she need him and receive him as the one that was sent by God, sent from heaven, sent for the express purpose that all through him might believe on the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and thou shalt be saved. Believe, receive, and believe, as it says in John chapter 3 and verse 15, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. What a wonderful promise. Whoever receive him, as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become or to be called the sons of God, Bnei HaElohim, the daughters of God, the children of God. Every true believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is called the son of God. And you notice how John is building upon the fact of the necessity to receive and to believe, because at the end of verse 12 he says, even to them that believe on his name. Even to them that believe on his name. What is his name? You shall call his name Yeshua. In Greek, Jesus. The English from the Greek, Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua means Jehovah the Savior. And you shall call his name Yeshua. Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why we must receive him. We must believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We read in the book of Acts. And so, beloved friend, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. The same John, the apostle, wrote in his epistle, in the letter that he wrote later on. We read in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, Bnei HaElohim. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2 of 1 John 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a tremendous truth to understand, beloved friends, sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you believed on the name of the Lord Yeshua Jesus? Have you received him into your heart? Have you recognized the fact that you are lost and without a hope if you will just remain without trust in the person of this wonderful one called Yeshua Jesus? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know where you go to after passing through the valley of death? This is why the Gospel of John was written. The whole Gospel, these things were written for our benefit, that ye, that you and I might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And the name is Yeshua, is Jesus. As many as receive him, dear friend, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And his name is so wonderful. Jehovah the Savior. Yahshua. Jesus, Yeshua, Jehovah the Savior. He is the answer for all men's sin. But notice, notice what the apostle here, John, continued to tell us about this new relationship. As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then verse 13, he continues and says, which were born, that tells us that there is a need to be born again, which were born not of blood. This is not natural birth. This is not natural birth. We are not born, we are not becoming sons of God because we were born to parents that were believers in Jesus the Messiah. No. It's an individual relationship with God, because God does not have grandchildren. He has only children, only sons and daughters. So you cannot be born into it. It has nothing to do with natural blood, but you must be born of the Holy Spirit of God. So it's not, which were born not of blood. Secondly, nor of the will of the flesh. In other words, not even if you on your own would want to call yourself a child of God. You have to have this new birth, this spiritual birth, this divine birth, to be born again, to be born of the Holy Spirit of God, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again, to be born from above. Even if you want to call yourself a child of God, you cannot do so unless you first become a believer in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, sincere believer, receiving him into your heart. And then you will receive the person of the Holy Spirit of God, who will give you new birth, divine birth, birth from above, born of the Spirit of God. Then he continued, and he said in verse 13, nor of the will of men. Somebody might say, I really want so much that you will become a son of God, but he cannot help you, or she cannot help you. None of us can help the other to become born of God, a son and a daughter of the Father. We must individually come to faith in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, to receive him into our heart, to repent of our sin, to confess that we have sinned, and to turn to him by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus the Messiah, and you shall be saved. That's why it says at the end of verse 13, which is born of God. Let me reread this verse 13. which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. You see, that all of us need to learn this truth, that we must be born again. We were born to our parents, and as we mentioned earlier, we have inherited a sin nature. This sin nature we have within us. We cannot get rid of it. This sin nature deserves to be punished because sin cannot ever enter into the presence of God. That's why we need to have a new birth. That's why when this ruler of our people, of all the people of Israel, by the name of Nakdimon, came to Yeshua, came to Jesus by night, Yeshua had to explain to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This is John 3, verse 5. Verse 6, the Lord Yeshua continued to explain to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, there are two distinct births. The one is natural and physical through our mothers. The other is spiritual, and it is through the Spirit of God as we believe in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus the Messiah. It's fascinating. It is fascinating. The Lord Jesus the Messiah said in John 3:3 to Nicodemus, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amazing, beloved friend, how important it is to be born of the Holy Spirit of God in order to see the kingdom of God, in order to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a fascinating and important for us to understand. So if you will trust the Lord, any one of us who ever trusted the Lord Jesus the Messiah, we will receive the Holy Spirit of God, and the Lord will give us a new birth, a divine birth, a spiritual birth that comes to us through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And so now, this final verse that is before us in chapter 1, John 1 and verse 14, and this is fundamental verse to read. And I would like to read verse 14 alongside verse 1. John 1, 1 and John 1, 14 together. Listen to this, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend. John 1, 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You notice the link? We read all these verses, verses 2 to verse 13, in between verse 1 and verse 14. And the reason is that God is seeking to explain to us that the person of whom we are going to hear in the whole Gospel of John is a divine person, is one of the three persons of the Godhead, and that he is the Creator, and he is the source of life, he is the source of light. This eternal Son of God, this Logos, this Mimra, this eternal Word became a man. That's what we learn here from this Gospel of John, that God became a man. Now, it's not easy to grasp. Who can fathom such a thing? God becoming a man? All of us must say that we have trouble with grasping this. But this is exactly why John, the evangelist, was entrusted by the Spirit of God to give us this gospel, to present the person of this man by the name of Yeshua, by the name of Jesus from Nazareth, to present him before us all to show us that he is really a divine person. He is God. He is the promised one of Israel that was prophesied years ago through the prophets of Israel that he would come. God would enter humanity in order to save sinners, to save sinful people, because there was no other solution. Isaiah said in chapter 7, giving a sign to the house of David, in verse 14 he said, therefore the Lord himself shall give you, house of David, a sign. What was the sign? The virgin, a virgin, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You see, a virgin to conceive and to bear a son and call his name Emmanuel is abnormal for a virgin, for Alma, for Betula to give birth to a son. She will no longer be an Alma, a virgin, or a Betula, because when a young woman, if she is not married, she is unable to give birth to a child. And the sign was that this Alma, this Jewish Alma, which we know is Miriam, according to the Brit HaChadasha, to the New Covenant, she will bring a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. That was a sign for the house of David concerning the coming Messiah, who is God with us. Emmanuel. In chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah continue by the word of the Lord to speak to the nation of Israel, saying, for unto us, in verse 6, Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born. This is his humanity. Then he continued in the second part of verse 6, unto us a son is given. God the Son was given because he is the eternal Son of God, eternal God the Son. And then we read what's going to happen to him in the second coming when he's going to come to rule after, first of all, he's going to come to die. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. You see what God is saying to Israel? He says, Israel, listen, there will be a child that will be born who was really the eternal Son of God. And you know what will be his name? Wonderful Counselor. In Hebrew, Pele, Yoetz. Mighty God, El Gibor. The Father of Eternity, Aviad. And the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. The only one who is able to bring shalom to mankind is God the Son. The only one who could bring shalom between the nations of the world is God the Son. The only one who could provide shalom for us with God is God the Son, who became a man whose name is Emmanuel. And we read in Isaiah 1, and we read in Hebrews, and in Colossians, and in John, that he is the Creator God. And here in John 1, verse 14, we read, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, my dear friend, if God would not enter into this world in order to provide remedy for sin. None of us will be ever able to accomplish this for ourselves. That's why the word had to enter into this world and become just like you and I, men, spirit, soul, and body, just like you and I, except sin apart, without sin, because he is sinless. He is God and man in one. In him there is no sin. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, for as much as the children, this is all humanity, this is all people, the children are partakers of flesh and blood. All of us are partakers of flesh and blood. We have flesh and blood. We are humans. He also himself likewise took part of the same. He took upon himself flesh and blood. You and I are sinners because we have inherited the sin nature from Adam and Eve. He is sinless because he was born to the Virgin Miriam, who knew no man. He was born into this world in the power of the Holy Spirit, who placed the seed in the womb of Miriam, who gave birth to the Mashiach, to the Messiah, to the Savior of this world. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, the reason that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, or let me say it this way, the reason that God had to enter humanity is in order to be able to destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil himself. And so when the Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, took upon himself human nature, 100% men, spirit, soul, and body, sin apart, without sin, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, when he took upon himself this human nature, he is now able to understand the experiences that you and I are going through, because he lived here for 33 years. He suffered here on earth like you and I suffering. He experienced the experiences that you and I experience. He lived in this world that is filled with darkness, yet he was sinless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He can sympathize with us. He understands what we go through. He understands what sin have done to us. He lived among us, yet sin apart. But you see, why did he come? In order that he will ultimately go to the shameful cross to pay for the sin of this world. This is the reason that he had to enter humanity to take upon himself human nature. Notice what it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angel. He didn't become an angel, as some teach us. He didn't become a spirit, a phantom, as some teach us. No, he became human being, sin apart, spirit, soul, and body, sin apart. But not only this, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, of Abraham. He became a Hebrew who was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He became a Jewish man because that's the way the Hebrew prophets have presented the Messiah who would come through the nation of Israel, through the seed of Abraham. He is the seed of the woman who was born to Miriam. He is the seed of Abraham who was born to our father through the father Abraham. He is the seed of David who was born through the Davidic line. In fact, a friend, what we learn here from the Lord Jesus, the Messiah himself, who even taught us that he must be the one that would come through the nation of Israel. Notice what he said to the Samaritan woman. In John 4:21, he says unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour is cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You see, he must come through the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of the tribe of Judah, and the seed of David. And here we learn, beloved friend, beloved brothers and sisters, that the Word, the Logos, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory, John is saying, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We can develop this a little bit later in our next ministry meeting, but beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, this is the one that John, the apostle, present before us, God, the Son, who became a man. And the reason is that all men through him might believe, and that believing they may have life. Do you believe on him? Have you accepted the Lord Yeshua Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I challenge you to turn your hearts to him, because he is the answer for man's sin. Well, God bless you, my dear friend. And I will say now, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.